resolution, and kindly, the chair will vote aye.
Senator Migdon on AJR 27.
Will be an aye, and on a...
An aye.
And the second?
Senator Migdon, AJR 28.
I'll be an aye.
Aye.
And Senator Padilla will take over from this point. Thank you.
Okay, we'll come back to the first item, AJR 27 by Solorio. Let's give him a few minutes to get here, unless he has a manager on the Senate side who will present on his behalf. Welcome, Senator Kuehl. Senator Kuehl's present. Now, we're going to give the authors a few minutes to get here. We just started. Let's go ahead and get started then, and we'll start with the second agenda item, AGR 28. We are in receipt of a letter and request from Assemblymember Leno, who is chairing Assembly Appropriations at this time, to allow staff to present on his behalf. We're happy to accommodate that request. If you would please come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for the opportunity to present on behalf of my member, who is currently in Assembly Appropriations. We bring to you today AJR 28, which respectfully urges Congress and the President to enact the Re-Empowerment of Skilled and Professional Employees and Construction Trade Workers Act, also known as RESPECT. The RESPECT Act would overturn the NLRB's Oakwood decision, which has the potential to remove lead workers from collective bargaining units across the nation. The board's decision could affect 8 million American workers, over 250,000 of which reside in California. Passing AJR 28 will send a strong message to Washington that any attempt to silence worker rights and undermine the essential right to organize will be met with strong opposition. The right to advocate for safer workplaces and improved working conditions is a right we must continue to protect for all workers. On behalf of Mr. Leno, I respectfully ask for your aye vote. With me today to provide additional testimony, I have Caitlin Vega and Mary Hernandez.
Okay. Oh, and welcome, Assemblymember Leno. Well represented at the table.
I know that.
Mr. Chair and members, Caitlin Vega for the California Labor Federation. We are sponsors of this measure. The Kentucky River decision could potentially strip all lead workers in every industry of their right to join a union. That could impact up to 250,000 workers here in California, many of whom spend less than 10 or 15 minutes a shift assigning other coworkers to tasks and really are not supervisors in any real meaning of that word. So it's essential to us that Congress enact legislation that would undo the unjust decision made by the NLRB. And I'm very pleased that we have a nurse here from representing AFSCME UNAC to speak directly about the impact it would have on nurses.
Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Scott Byington. I'm a registered nurse of 18 years. I work for St. Francis Medical Center in Los Angeles, California, which is only a few miles away from Martin Luther King, the hospital that just recently closed. So we're busy. We're full. We got two ERs now. And we have 36 ICU beds. I'm a critical care nurse. And I've been part of the United Nurse Association of California about 12 years. The impact this would have on a registered nurse in a critical care area is very severe. It's even more severe for the patient. First of all, we rotate as charge nurse. We do not take charge full time. We do not hire, we do not fire, we do not discipline. The only reason that we do any type of delegation to the coworker is to even up the acuity of the patient. That's it. That's the only reason. And that authority is passed on by management, upper management. This is how they tell us to do this, how we have an acuity system based by the Department of Health, and it's kind of a standard for hospitals to delegate these type of acuity of patients evenly, because otherwise a patient's safety is in jeopardy. What this would do is, if you remove a charge nurse from bargaining unit, those are normally your outspoken nurses who are experienced, who have who know firsthand what patient safety is all about. Healthcare has gone corporate. You know, they do not care about the patient. The first line and last line defense is the nurse. The first person you see, the last person you see. When you come into a hospital, you know, you better hope that that nurse, you know, feels that her job is safe enough for her to tell you exactly what needs to happen. If a physician is not practicing safely, if a the staffing is not correct, you know, we come forward. I do report my facility to the Department of Health. I have not had to do so in over 5 years because they know that we're serious. We make sure our patient, our environment is safe, and this is how it is across the country. Now, if you want to be a patient, the best place to go is to a union hospital because the unions make sure that those staffing ratios are intact. And I find it interesting when I look at this, the opposer here who says right here that the this resolution has nothing to do with patient care or safety. Contrary, passage of the federal legislation, which is the subject of this resolution, would have an adverse effect on patient care. The same organization is the same one that opposed the staffing ratios just a few years ago that actually are making our hospitals safer. So I find it interesting that all of a sudden they have a change of heart. As a nurse, I find it very, it's very disheartening to know that any organization would want to jeopardize anybody's health care, including their own, because none of us in this room is immune to having any type of illness. We could all be a patient at one time or another. And the thing is that if you remove a charge nurse from a bargaining unit, what you're doing is you're making it to where the corporation can manipulate that charge nurse at will, because that person becomes an at-will employee. You know, that charge nurse underneath the bargaining unit has the opportunity to file a grievance, go forward and fight against the institution, which we have done. You know, so I really am for the, oh, sorry.
Let me ask you to wind down.
Yes, okay, sure. Well, basically, that's why I'm for the Respect Act. I think it's something that needs to be done. Our health care is in jeopardy right now the way it is, and like I said, the first and last line of defense will be your nurse. And she needs to be within a union in order to provide that safe patient care.
Or he.
Or he.
Thank you. Other speakers in support.
Good afternoon. Mary Hernandez with the Service Employees International Union here in strong support of this bill. We think the idea behind the Respect Act is pretty simple, that a supervisor engage a majority of his or her time in supervisory acts. So that it's pretty clear on who a supervisor is. We think that this resolution calling for Congress to pass that act is something that is worthy of your support, and ask for it. Thanks so much.
The speakers in support? In opposition, please come forward. And then Mr. Leno has joined us. We'll forge an opportunity to close and allow us with your remarks.
Connie Delgado Alvarez with the California Hospital Association. Basically, we just wanted to let you know that we are opposed to this AGR because we believe it's in the best interest of patients to continue to recognize that charge nurses are indeed supervisors as provided in current law. For those reasons, we're opposed to the bill.
Okay. Other speakers in opposition? Not. Mr. Leno, would you like to close? Mr. Weiland.
Just a quick question, not really directly related to this, but about the adequacy of nursing and maintaining the adequacy. Do you find, because I know many, many hospitals in my area struggle to do that and end up hiring temporary nurses and various things like that, do you find that that's a problem trying to get enough nurses to fully staff?
What I find at my facility, they haven't had any problem in finding temporary help. The problem comes when they fail to educate them according to the type of patient we have in our unit. So they're available. They are out there. They're not cheap. And the bottom line always comes down to the dollar.
And so you would probably agree that we have a nursing shortage and we ought to be able to staff, we ought to be able to have full-time nurses rather than have to rely so much on the...
Well, there is a place for temporary help. You know, it's all about this, you know, safe patient care. But what I find is a lot of times administration, if you're a charge nurse right now, and if you feel somebody is inadequate, you know, you have no power to do anything, and, you know, you shouldn't have as a, because you're at their same level. However, a lot of times administration has a tendency, they just want a body. They do just want a body. You know, this is standard everywhere. You know, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Leno.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry for my delay, just coming from Appropriations Committee. I don't want to repeat anything that's already been said prior to my arrival, but just to point out that the RESPECT Act has bipartisan support in Washington, D.C. It has bipartisan co-authorship, and it's worthy of this committee's support. I would ask for your aye vote.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion? The chair will move. Senator Migdon has already voted aye. Let's call the balance of the roll.
Senator Wyland? No. Wyland, no. Senator Ackerman? Senator Kuhl? Senator Padilla?
Aye.
Padilla, aye.
Let's leave the roll open for Senator Kuhl, who will join us in a few minutes. And I proceed to the next item.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members.
Thank you. Next item is AGR 27. Assemblymember Solora is here to present.
Thank you, Senators. I'm here to present AGR 27, which urges the United States Postal Service to discontinue its practices of contracting out. The recent practice, I believe, not only threatens the jobs and incomes of America's 325,000 postal service letter carriers, but also really threatens the long-term viability of the Postal Service itself. The contracting out policy is being more and more expanded. And in the last 5 years alone, for example, there's been a contracting out on the deliveries of over 3.5 million homes nationwide, including some here in California. And really, by doing that, you know, we're replacing good living wage and benefit jobs with low-wage contract jobs. The contracting out service policy also limits the ability of the Postal Service to prevent and investigate and prosecute mail theft, mail fraud, and other illegal uses of mail. The protection of our mail service deliveries is a vital component of our national security, and you know, with that, I do ask for your support on this measure.
Okay. Next speaker.
Good afternoon. I wish to thank the committee for the opportunity to present a brief statement today in support of Assembly Joint Resolution 27. My name is John Beaumont. I'm the California President for the National Association of Letter Carriers. Our association is supporting this legislation because the present movement by the Postal Board of Governors to outsource mail delivery to new addresses wherever and whenever possible is a direct threat to the future of the United States Postal Service. Contracting out an inherently governmental function like the delivery of mail runs counterproductive to the Postal Service's basic business strategy, and it violates both the intent and the spirit of our nation's postal laws. The Postal Service's key asset is the trust and confidence of our nation's mailers. Employing workers with no benefits will lead to a high turnover and poor service over time. This will break the trust Americans have developed with the Postal Service through their long-term contract with dedicated career letter carriers. Contracting out delivery services diminishes America's commitment to our veterans. Currently, the United States Postal Service gives hiring preference to America's veterans. Approximately one-third of all postal employees are veterans. This ensures that America's servicemen and women have access to good middle-class jobs and decent pay and benefits when they return to civilian life after serving our country. Our national mail delivery should be done by trusted federal employees. Things like sensitive financial information, prescriptions, an increasing number of ballots should be delivered by dedicated career employees. Security of the mail is an important issue. While federal employees are screened and take an oath to protect the mail for our country, independent contractors only have to declare that their employees that they subcontract out to are trustworthy. Taking all of these factors into account, I urge this committee to vote to pass AGR 27 to protect the delivery of mail for our state's constituents and the survival of a viable postal service. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair and members, Caitlin Vega for the California Labor Federation here in support. I would simply add that currently the Postal Service is the second largest employer and provides jobs that are good jobs, that have stability for the workers and their families, good benefits. People are able to enjoy a life where they can send kids to college, buy a home, and all of the things that I think we want for all workers. This is in stark contrast to the nation's largest employer, Walmart, who provides very few of those benefits and much less stability for those workers. And we believe that we should support the creation and the maintaining of those quality jobs for Californians and across the country, and that's what this resolution aims to do and prevent the race to the bottom that we often see from contracting out without maintaining any kinds of standards. Thank you.
Thank you. Other speakers in support? Speakers in opposition? Seeing no opposition, are there questions from the committee? No questions. Do we have a motion on the item? Chair will move. Senator Migdon has voted aye. Call the roll.
Senator Weiland? Weiland, no. Senator Ackerman? Senator Kuhl? Senator Padilla?
Aye.
Padilla, aye.
Okay, we have two ayes. We'll keep the roll open for Senator Kuhl to return. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Senators.
At the end of our agenda, we'll wait a few minutes as the sergeants can track down Senator Kuhl. Kuhl has rejoined us. If we can please lift the call on both items.
AGR 27, Senator Kuhl.
Aye.
Kuhl, aye.
3-1. 3-1. That bill is out.
AGR 28, Senator Kuhl.
Aye.
Kuhl, aye. Thank you.
Okay. That item also is out. And this concludes this meeting. Thank you very much.